And this last year has been a difficult year for me, as last summer my back went out, and I thought it was something that I could go to a chiropractor to get fixed, and it turns out that the bottom three discs collapsed, my spine twisted, shut off the spinal canal in one place, almost shut it off in another, and boy, did the nerves go down to my legs, and I lost strength, and I thought, what is going to happen to this old man? Because I don't like to think about me being old. So I got this advice, I got that advice. Finally, I went to my doctor, and he says, why don't you get an MRI to find out what's going on? Well, as a result, in October of last year, they did major back surgery. I've had three procedures to drain what they call synovial cysts. And I was going through a hard time of finding that sense that God is really pleased with me. You know, I am supposed to be the person who understands that God loves me all the time and that he's always going to be good to me, but that's not always easy for me. I don't know. Maybe it's easier for you, but there are times when I kind of wonder, have I done something wrong? Is God, you know, saying shape up, or what have I done, or how can I change it? Well, about 4 months ago, one of the pastors that I've been helping, he called me and he says, you know, I'm studying this portion of scripture about Jesus, and before he asked the Father for anything, he thanked him for all things. Why is that? I said, let's go through that together. And we did, and God led me to different things and different books. And as I began to come to the end of my study, I began to realize some things that I hadn't thought about before. And I'm going to share those with you this morning. I'm going to talk about the way to joy. Not the joy that you get by going out and just having a good time. And I think it's Joss and Tanya go out and find out what it means to minister and to have that time to sit down and experience the joy that Jesus is talking about in John 17, verse 13, where he says, I am coming to you now, talking to his Father, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And I hope before we finish today, you'll begin to better understand what that means. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for this time. You are such a good God, and you have taught me so many things in the past year about my relationship with you. Use me this morning to speak truth. Give each one here ears to hear, for I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know, but as I begin to think this through, and I begin to read some of the books that God led me to, and I began to discover some things. You know, joy, number one in my outline, you might want to write in, there's words that are missing. Joy is something that is always given. It is not something that can be grasped. I can't go out and I'm going to get some joy today. I'm going to do this and this and this, and I'll have joy by the end of the day. No, joy is given by God to those who qualify. And I know, as I begin to think that through, what does that really mean to me? What was Jesus saying? I want them to receive the joy that you gave to me. And we're going to think about that because joy is something that is so necessary for those who are involved in ministry. And as I've heard all the things that are going on here at First Baptist and Vacation Bible School starting, and it always starts out as such a great week, and it is a great week, but by the end of the week, those who are serving are going to get tired. And they're going to be singing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And they're going to be singing, but I'm tired and I need strength. And by that time, they'll begin to think what we're going to be talking about this morning and apply it to them. Because they will qualify for the joy that Jesus is talking about. As I was doing the study, the Holy Spirit led me to Mary, just a young teenager, who was betrothed to a man named Joseph, who was a carpenter, older than she was. He was kind of really set up good, and Mary was going to have a great life. And then one day, some angels show up, and I don't understand how all that happens, but says, Mary, you are highly favored. And I've come to understand when God says you're highly favored, he's going to ask something of you that is not going to be easy. And then the angel says, God wants you to be the mother of his son. And as Mary began to think that through, and as the conversation continued, at the end, she says, let it be done according to your will. And then Mary writes a song, and she begins to sing her song from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 48, the first part of verse 48. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Now, there's some words in there that are really important. First of all, Mary is really filled with joy. She says, "My spirit rejoices because of the humble state of his servant." You'll be hearing those words as we go on this morning. I come to a place in my life where I need to spend more time sitting quietly before God until I receive the joy that he alone can give me because what I have done for him, how I have been used to touch lives or help somebody along the way. Just about a month ago, I received an email from one of the pastors that I've been helping, and he says, "I really want to thank you." He said, "For apart from your help, your counsel, your prayers, your wisdom, I would not be the person that I am today. I would not be the minister that I am today." And I had tears in my eyes. I thought, wow, that makes it all worth it. You know, because I do ministry and God provides enough to support my ministry. I don't pursue any extra, and some people fall off, and that's okay. That's not what I'm doing this for. I want to have those moments like that email when it's sent to me. And I received a couple more over the last few months from people that I've been able to just kind of come alongside and says, "We need to talk and we need to pray," because ministry at times is really hard. And when you're kind of starting out in ministry, you need somebody who's been there for a while and say, "Okay, just go along, go to the aside, let's talk, let's pray, let's ask God to give us the joy that he alone can give us, because you are serving him as he has called you to serve." I found one definition from John Piper. You know, the school where Tanya is going to is there in Bethlehem Baptist, and I know John. And he says, "Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul, produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world." And I think as I begin to think that through and I begin to add to it, you know, joy comes to those who are tired. And God comes alongside and says, "It's okay to rest." Joy comes to those who are kind of in a bad situation and they don't know how this is going to work out. And then God shows up and says, "I am so strong. I'm going to do that which is necessary to help you get through this. And when you get through, you're going to be closer to me. Your faith is going to be stronger." Joy comes to those who just sit down before God and say, "God, I need to feel joy. The joy that you have promised to give me because I have chosen to serve you as Jesus served you." And that's the joy that Jesus was talking about. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we come to the end. You see, joy comes from the Holy Spirit because in Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace," and you know how that goes on. But it starts with the love of God. The unconditional love of God, which begins to flow over in a sense of joy. That God has chosen me, a sinner, to serve him. You know, I accepted Christ when I was 32 years old. I was in the business world, and I was working hard, and I was on the way up the ladder. But I was using alcohol to make me feel strong, to make me feel better, to make me feel this, till I came to the place where I decided, this is not going to work, because my marriage of 12 years was on the rocks. Things were just not going well, and then I was in a church that presented the gospel well, and I decided I'm going to accept Christ into my life, not because I just want him to take away the penalty for my sins, but because I want to find a way to serve him. And as I've grown in my faith, I've understood that God gives each and every one of us, every one of you who is a Christian, has received a gift or two to serve Jesus, to serve in Jesus' stead. And as you serve him, you will have times of feeling joy. because you will know that you have been faithful, you have been a part of the team, you have been involved in so much more than other people understand. And as I think of First Baptist Church, I've been in Mosinee for 34 years, and I've known First Baptist Church for that long, and I've seen you in your ups and downs, and more, you're on the way up right now. You're on the time of just celebrating in a way that this church has never celebrated before. When the community sees this beautiful church for the glory of God, and many are going to come and find out what is going on in a world which says, "Ah, I am so miserable. I don't know what to do. I don't know who I am." Everybody says, "Try this, try this, try this till you figure it out." And then somebody says, "Who are you?" And you can say, "I am a Christ follower. And I've come to understand the joy of serving Jesus. I understand that as I grow in my understanding of what that means for me, my life will be so filled with joy that I will say, man, I've got to tell others about it." And there's going to be people that God is going to give you a chance. Now, number two in my outline, and this is one of the things that has been hard for me, but I'm getting better at it now. Joy is given to those who are thankful in all things and for all things. You know, the scriptures say that in Ephesians 5:20. "Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, "Rejoice, be full of joy always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And you know what the key to that is? You have to remember that Jesus says, you know, "I want to be all that God has asked me to be. I want to do that all that God will enable me to do." And the scriptures clearly say that as he was involved in that, there were some very hard times. But he understood that if he was thankful in all things and for all things, he would understand better God's will for his life. Jesus says, "I always know that the Lord is with me because I always do what? That which pleases him." You see, as a Christian, I have to come to the point where I know that God is sovereign. And God's will for my life is something that I don't fully understand. But I do know he wants me to become more like Jesus. And I do know that as I do what is necessary to read my scripture, I know I read through the Bible every year. I have for 20 years or more. And I listen to it personally every day and try to figure out what he's saying to me out of this. And some days he doesn't speak as clearly as he does other days. But then I begin to understand that God is sovereign. And no matter what happens to me today, I need to thank him for it. I need to know that he is doing something that I don't understand. And when he asks me to do something, he will enable me to do it. And on the other side, I will grow in my faith. I will grow in my understanding of his will for my life. I found a book in this process called 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp. Now, if you want to read a book that's not going to be easy to read, but you want to better understand what I'm talking about this morning, and John Piper recommended it, read that book. It's called 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp. And in that book, she taught me to better understand what it means to pray without ceasing. It's learning to pray with eyes wide open, because that's what enables one to pray without ceasing. And I know when I pray today better than I did a year ago, I'm learning to pray with my eyes wide open. What does that mean? I'm looking around to see what God would have me to do to help a person in need. I'm looking around to say, how could I help somebody today? How could I serve the Lord today by being available to him? And keeping my eyes wide open and talking to him continuously, which I do a lot. You know, I'm just walking around. And I'm learning to say that when I go into a supermarket, I come by Walmart out here but quite a bit, and I stop in because I buy things there. But when I go in with my eyes wide open and I say, "Thank you, God, for all of this that you have provided." You know, when you're 80 years old, and I worked in a grocery store where there was a counter and all of the food was behind me, and the people came and I wrote down what they wanted, and I went and got it off the shelves, and then we brought it and put it in a box and gave it to them. Boy, that's quite a change, isn't it? And I tell you, this is amazing. You know, it's amazing to see what God has done. But I'm learning the secret of what it means to consider it pure joy out of James 1, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. You know, just a short time ago, my wife and I were kind of thinking about what are we going to do? It was my day to kind of sit and rest and do some reading and maybe some writing. And I was movie on called Rudy. Have any of you seen Rudy? If you haven't seen it, you should see it. And I don't have enough time to tell you the story, but Rudy was a young man who was quite an athlete, and he was a star in high school, but he was 5'8 and 165. But he had a dream. He wanted to someday run out on the field with the Notre Dame football team. And he couldn't even get into Notre Dame because he didn't know it, but he had dyslexia. And so once they found that out and taught him how to study, how to read better, he did make it into Notre Dame. But on the last game of his career in his senior year, God worked it out. So he ran out on the field. And he not only got into play with 26 seconds to go, but in the last play of the game, he tackled the quarterback. He sacked him. And the crowd began to roar, and they put Rudy on his shoulders, and they carried him off the field to the tone of, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. And I thought, isn't that kind of what you'd like to see someday when you go to heaven? When you imagine heaven, I know it's more than I can imagine to see the angels come and pick me up on their shoulders and yell my name and yell my name. I know that's not going to happen, but there is something about the joy that God gives us that is more than I can ever figure out. There's one other thing, and this is important. And if you're a person like me who struggles with self-image, I've done that all my life. I've had a hard time thinking that I'm okay. I've come to understand something that I repeat to myself every day. God is always good, and he has promised to always love his children. Think that through today, if you're like me. God is always good, and he has promised to always love his children. And I need to at times sit down and remind myself of that, and then he helps me to see how you help this person, how you did this. And then there's something else that I learned in this study. Number 3 in the outline, you want to fill this in, because this takes me a little thought, and this came from Anne Voskamp's book. Humility is the God-given humus that grows gratitude that yields abundant joy. Humus. How many know what humus is? I'm sure some of you gardeners do. I know, I learned it a long way back, that when you're going to plant flowers in those, we got raised gardens out back, that your soil needs some strengthening. So you go to Charlie's, that's our hardware, and I buy a bag of humus. And that's organic soil, which is very rich. You put it into the soil that's there from last year. You mix it all up. It not only enriches your soil, but it enables the soil to retain moisture better. And humility is like humus in the human spirit. And if I can humble myself before God and let God use me in whatever way he chooses, I will find myself becoming more filled with gratitude and experience more the abundant joy that Jesus is talking about in John 17:13. Because I think one of the reasons most of us as Christians have a hard time experiencing joy is because we lose that sense of being humble in the sight of God. What does it say in the scripture? That Jesus, though he was God, he humbled himself and became nothing so that he could be used by God to provide a way of salvation for you and for me. I struggle with that. I find my way that when I read a little thing, boy, thank you for doing this, I feel a little bit proud. And God says, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to feel joy. Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy, you might want to circle that or underline that, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that amazing? How was Jesus enabled to finish the work that God gave him to do? Why in the Garden of Gethsemane did he say, I don't really want to do this, God, my Father, but if it's your will for me, it's your will, not my will, that I want to be done. And I want to grow in my better understanding what that means for me, and I hope that's true for you. Martin Luther says, Philippians 4:4, I skipped one, okay. Rejoice, be full of joy. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, Martin Luther said, God created the world out of nothing. As long as we are nothing, he can create something out of us. And Henry Ward Beecher was in the 19th century, kind of fought against slavery. He says, how much larger our lives would be if we could become smaller in it. And then as I started out with Mary, who said, my will, your will be done, whatever you want from me, I know that's the right thing to say. And Jesus says at the end, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. I was on my way to Rhinelander to spend some time with Pastor Rod, and we had a terrific time together. It was a time where the Holy Spirit really opened up some things, and we just talked and we prayed together. But I was almost a Rhinelander listening to 88.1, and there was a time of requests. And the request came over, I want you to play I'm Drinking from My Saucer. I had never heard that before. Have you ever heard it? If you haven't heard it, and you love country western, look it up and listen to it. Now, I began to laugh, and I almost began to cry. I couldn't understand it all because the guy was really country western. I mean, he was really wailing the song. But let me read from you some of the words from the song. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. This is out of Psalm 23, verse 5. My cup runneth over. So, Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough rows that I've hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. May I ask for no other blessing, Jesus, because I'm already blessed enough. May I never be too busy to help a brother bear his load because I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Now, as you go out this week, I want you to remember two things. And maybe you need to say this to yourself. And maybe you want to say it with me right now. God is always good, and he will always love me. Those who feel that they can say that and really want to say it with me. God is always good, and he will always love me. And then this week, I'm going to ask you to take time to drink from the saucer, meaning you're going to have to do something that will give you that sense of joy, that sense of God's pleasure. And you know, man, I'm just drinking it in, the Holy Spirit to come to my life and enable me to drink from my saucer because my cup has overflowed.